Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
I believe that the president is a citizen. I believe the president is a Christian. I'll take him at his word.
This bill will write into permanent law a policy on which there's been strong popular and congressional agreement for over 35 years. The federal government should not use tax dollars to support or promote elective abortion.
This legislation represents an entirely new front in the war against women and their families.
The church bigwigs of today probably wouldn't allow Paul to preach in any congregation. Weakness? Fear? Trembling? You've got to be kidding.
Moms in Ohio love Issues Etc.
Mom!
Well, our listeners know, I hope they know by now, how highly we value them. We are here because our listeners are there, and they're listening. That's what keeps Issues Etc. on the air. And as a token of our appreciation, every week, we like to make sure that our listeners get in on the conversation as much as possible. We get a lot of email here at Issues Etc. We can't always respond to all of it, but we do save as much as we can for Fridays so that we can respond on the air to our listeners and have that kind of interaction with them, as well as the live interaction we have throughout the week. Now, on this Friday, it's a little strange because the real-time Jeff Schwarz, as you hear these words, is not here at LPR doing his job. He's off, probably sitting, if I know him well, eyes drooping, sullen expression on his face, avoiding any offers of donuts or coffee or free pens at the Crown Plaza in St. Louis near the airport, engaging in his CTCR duties as a member of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations.
Just finished having his sack lunch.
Mm-hmm. His PB&J there. And now he might also be over at the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, because I'm not sure how they truck all those guys around. I know they have cars waiting for them constantly, a whole caravan of limos that carry them at their whim wherever they want to go in St. Louis when they're there in their synodocratical duties. And Jeff being one of those, that's, you know, it's just one of the perks of being a synodocrat. But as you just heard, in the unreal time of radio, Jeff Schwarz is here at LPR ready to read email. I'm not going to explain to you how this is, except that we just have the ability to pre-record Fridays if we need to. And this is one of those cases where we have to. We don't have a choice. The powers that be.
Oh, you guys are just disappointed with being off on Friday.
Right,
just,
because the real-time
Todd. It kills you to have a three-day weekend.
I was going to mention, the real-time Todd Wilkin, as you are hearing these words, is probably at home, sitting on the couch, chalada in hand, staring blankly into space, which is one of my favorite pastimes. The real-time Craig Feitinger is probably right now walking hand-in-hand through the beautiful spring-like weather that we're having. I hope we will be having on Friday through some park or some beautiful venue down a cobblestone street with his beautiful girlfriend on their way to who knows whatever romantic destination. That's how he's going to spend his Friday. Jeff at the Crown Plaza, me at home where I like to be, and Craig, whatever romantic foray his young bachelor mind can dream up for the weekend.
Is by CTCR, is that Crown Plaza or the International Center?
I don't know. I just said I don't know where you are right now.
First of all, full disclosure, I've never stayed at the Crown Plaza.
I know
you don't
stay.
Unlike other synodocrats. I know. But I'm saying here it is. This is actually Wednesday and we're recording this. And I have a meeting tomorrow, and I'm not sure if it's at the headquarters of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod or the Crown Plaza. I'll have to check into that.
Well, that presents a real problem for Jeff, because likely he won't know until he gets in his car, leaves his driveway tomorrow morning or yesterday morning, depending on when you're listening, to head out. He's going to finally then decide that he needs to know where the meeting is. But these things hold such a low priority for Jeff that he just really doesn't care where the meeting is until he absolutely has to be there. Well, I mean, he cares where the meeting is, but... it pales by comparison to his tireless and and heroic dedication to Lutheran Public Radio. So listener email on this Friday afternoon after that lengthy excursus. Dr. Paul Robinson will join us a little bit later in this first hour. We're going to get a biography of 16th century reformer Martin Luther. Is it the 18th of February on which we celebrate or remember Luther's death? That's right. I should know that. The entire second hour of this Friday Issues, Etc., all brand new, by the way. Dr. Al Culver is going to join us, Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're going to spend the entire hour talking with him about natural law and the ordination of women. A very interesting conversation on this Friday afternoon, February the 18th.
Before we get to email, two items of business. Making coffee this morning, okay? Craig's girlfriend, Tori, thank you, Tori, brought some roasted coffee or something or other. Some very nice coffee, all right? And it's good.
She'd heard of our coffee dilemma. Yes,
because of Craig. I mean, just coffee dilemma.
Problem?
Equals.
Craig.
It's
solution,
synonymous
Tori.
With Craig Feichtinger. Okay. Coffee dilemma, Craig Feichtinger. Okay? So she heard about it. So she kindly brought some like nice roasted coffee. Okay? The coffee controversy continues here at LPR because I just want some regular Folgers for a change. The nice, freshly ground dark roast that Tori bought us. All right? Well, I open up the Folgers thing. Now, if our listeners remember, he was taking the original Folgers coffee canister and putting half calf in it.
Yeah, some sort of Aldi's half calf generic. Yeah.
Okay, so I just want some Folgers. That's all I want. I look in it. It's like, that's awful dark looking, and it's finer than Folgers. He mixed Tori's freshly ground dark special roast coffee with the Folgers. So how am I to get Folgers? So I had to dig the scooper really deep to get to the Folgers, spilling it because it was filled to the brim.
He's like a child, isn't he? I mean, it's like having
spilling
a 4-year-old
all over
in the
place,
office.
And it's like he's still mixing coffees. He's still you know, just
maybe we're completely misunderstanding this little dilemma we've had with Craig all these many years. Maybe Craig is like a wannabe coffee. What do they call them? Like a barista? Yeah, that's what they call them. Maybe he is a wannabe barista, and so he blends the coffees and then carefully gauges our reaction to the flavor. Maybe it's just that he loves this so much. We should probably get him a cappuccino machine and let him steam it up back there.
Any type of new machine you want to bring in the office is A-OK with me, but please allow me to retort. All right, first of all... The coffee is a brand new. The Folgers is a brand new can, so it's going to be full at the beginning, correct? They're not going to give it to you half full. It's full. Second of all, the Tori coffee is almost all the way gone. So I figured, you know what? We'll just put a little on top. Why take up the extra space in the fridge? Poured it right on top. Jeff makes it here ahead of me. So like he very seldom does, and gets to the coffee machine before I do. So this is just one of those mishaps that shouldn't have happened. Jeff should have went to Bread Co. today with Beth, or he should have sat in bed and thought about the loss last night that Edwardsville had to Collinsville. And, you know, let me get here first. I'd have made the coffee. We'd have been fine. None of this would have happened.
None the wiser.
None the wiser. There you go. Absolutely.
But I still want to have...
And Friday, I'll be putting in my new dishwasher.
Oh, good.
We still, with his scenario, there's still no Folgers coffee that Jeff would like to drink this morning.
But you wouldn't know that.
Oh, yes, I would know
and
that.
And Jeff, I'm going to let you, because in interest of full disclosure, there was a stunning loss last night.
Well, okay.
It was stunning. Everyone was stunned. I didn't even know about it, and I felt stunned until Craig showed me the newspaper report today. Just briefly...
Okay. Fairly new listeners, Craig's a graduate of Collinsville High School here in Illinois. I'm a graduate of Edwardsville High School. Long rivals, okay? Collinsville High School is the third winningest high school basketball program in the entire nation, okay? What makes what I'm about to tell you is really amazing is that Edwardsville, my alma mater, has beaten them 20 consecutive games. Nobody's beaten Collinsville High School 20 consecutive games. But on Tuesday night, Craig's Cayhawks defeated my Edwardsville Tigers by about 8 points, and I was there. I witnessed it firsthand.
What was your reaction?
I wasn't shocked. I thought Collinsville, most people don't follow Arizona basketball, but we had two players, Division I prospects, have been kicked off the team for the whole year. All right. Then our top scorer left over was suspended for getting in a fracas at the previous game. So we were somewhat handicapped. But
I will say, in Edwardsville's defense, they knew this game was coming up. And this coach, you got to hand it to a coach to suspend a player for perfectly good reasons, for perfectly legitimate reasons, knowing it was probably going to cost him the game. He did the right thing.
Yes, exactly. So congratulations to the Collinsville Cayhawks. I did get the pleasure of – I was at every one of those 20 consecutive wins. And I didn't want to go last night because I was pretty certain we were going to lose, but I sat there and took it like a crybaby.
Do we have time to get at least one email in here?
Well, let me see here. I don't know. How much time we got? 2 minutes before break? Let's see. Hey, oh, there's a quick one. Eric in Topeka, Kansas. Are the archives searchable? I'm not finding a search option. It seems I cannot just Google issues, etc., in the name of a guest or a topic. Thank you for your help and keep up the great work, writes Eric in Topeka, Kansas.
Yes, the archives are searchable within limits. Of course, if you're talking about the entire Issues, etc. archive, not only what we produced in the last 3 odd years, but also years previous to that, it's a little more complicated. But the archives at our website, our current website, issuesetc.org, are searchable. It's right there on the homepage, if I'm not mistaken. No, it's the Listen on Demand page. Right there on the left-hand side of the page, there is a search box. They can search the archives. They can also go month by month, can't
right-hand they? Side. Right-hand the side. The Google is on the right when you face your screen.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
And it's on the right. That's true. So you can search there. Now, because our archives over the many years reside in many different places, we've tried to solve that problem. That's not one we've been able to solve yet. Searching everything we've done on Issues, etc. for the last 15 years plus is a little more difficult. But the last 3 years, all there. Issuesetc.org, listen on demand. Look for the little Google box and enter the name or the topic, and it'll take you where you need to go. We'll be right back.
I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Independent and in the black for 2 years and running, you're listening to Issues Etc.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at GraceLutheranRacine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Welcome back on this Friday afternoon, February the 18th. We're going through listener email a little bit later, some comment line as well. Dr. Paul Robinson of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis will be our guest After that, we'll get a biography of the 16th century reformer Martin Luther, remembered on this the day of his death, even now. And then in the second hour, we'll talk natural law and the ordination of women with Dr. Al Culver, Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Here's an email from Steve in Iowa. I'm writing to express my great disappointment in the sentiments expressed by your recent guest, Robert Baker, who suggested that there was some connection between the late Dr. Gerhard Ferdy's concept of preaching as an event and the evangelical Lutheran Church in America's slip into apostasy. While I am sure Dr. Baker did a fair share of research into this, it appears sadly he mischaracterizes Dr. Ferdy as suggesting that because preaching is an event, Scripture should then always be interpreted subjectively and according to how one receives it and not according to what Scripture objectively states. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, it is that sort of thinking that Dr. Ferdy constantly spoke against. What Dr. Baker neglected to mention, perhaps because he is not aware, is that Dr. Ferdy also believed that Scripture had an undeniable external clarity. What does that mean?
Well, that is, it is clear, apart from one's own subjective reception of it, that it actually is, and this is classic Reformation teaching, it's usually called the perspicuity of Scripture, another big word, that is, as Luther will say, Scripture is clear on those things where God, those essential things where God reveals himself in Jesus Christ, on these matters of salvation and all things attached to it. Scripture is abundantly clear. It does not need a special knowledge or special interpreter.
That external clarity is intricately connected to his understanding of preaching as an event. Dr. Ferdy believed with Luther that Scripture interprets itself and is authoritative in and of itself. I believe Dr. Ferdy would say preaching is an event because of the external clarity of the Word of God, not because of our interpretation, and in fact, when we rely on our subjective interpretation, as opposed to the external clarity of Scripture, then preaching ceases to be an event. Unfortunately, Dr. Baker, unfairly in my opinion, asserted the exact opposite about Dr. Ferdy. It seemed to me that Dr. Baker read a few of Dr. Ferdy's essays, maybe one of his books, and a whole lot of Erlangen. What's Erlangen?
Well, the Erlangen school is the 19th century, right after what was called the Prussian Union, when in Prussia the Lutherans were forced to enter into an ecumenical union with the Reformed in Prussia. It was a political move to try and unite these two. Lutherans reacted. There were two reactions. One was the Repristination movement that gave birth eventually in the United States to the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, returning back to the sources of the Reformation. The other one is usually called the Erlangen School, and this is a group of people who wanted to meld Reformation theology with some of the new learning that was coming out in the 19th and early 20th century.
So our listener, Steve in Iowa, says, it seemed to me that Dr. Baker read a few of Dr. Ferdy's essays, maybe one of his books, and a whole lot of Erlangen, and then unfairly projected all that Erlangen believed onto Dr. Ferdy. I think Dr. Baker would do well to read Dr. Ferdy's essays and authority from the collection of his essays entitled A More Radical Gospel, as well as his essay entitled Luther's Ethics from the same collection of essays. Dr. Ferdy also believed, again along with Luther, that faith is living and active, and his notion of preaching as an event is largely rooted in that. Todd, it's not that the confessionals in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America were not able to mount a strong biblically based argument. As a pastor recently departed from the ELCA, I can tell you they were able to. The problem was that there wasn't enough of us, and our opponents simply did not acknowledge the authority of Scripture. In that sense, it became like we were speaking different languages. On a recent segment, you posed the question of whether or not it was appropriate for a pastor to speak about pornography. You said it was, as long as it was in the context of all sin and with acknowledgement that all sin basically boils down to unbelief. It's the same in the ELCA. The rampant revisionism and apostasy in the ELCA is ultimately a reflection of the unbelief of their so-called leadership. For Dr. Baker to try to pin the apostasy of the ELCA on the late Dr. Ferdy is at best a misunderstanding of Dr. Ferdy's theology, at worst a cowardly attack on Dr. Ferdy's essay, writes Steve in Iowa.
I don't think he was in any way trying to pin the apostasy on Dr. Ferdy. And I think we tried to acknowledge as fully as we could and still deal with our subject in the time allotted to us the fact that the late Dr. Gerhard Ferdy was, in fact, one of the most vocal opponents of the apostasy in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. He was quite vocal in it. I think what Dr. Baker contends in his essay, and this comes from our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for February Natural Law. You can read it for yourself to see exactly what Dr. Baker says and the things that he cites by way of Gerhard Fürthe. What he's saying is, given this approach, even the best, most faithful Lutheran voices in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America were ill-equipped to respond exegetically, that is, in terms of the Bible and its right interpretation, when the apostasy began to gain its steam. Now, I'm just perusing here, just for the sake of the listener, Dr. Baker does cite in his chapter, the pieces. He cites, and these are Fürthe's works, all right? Law and Gospel as a methodological principle in theology. He also cites, I'm perusing here. He cites from Fürthe mostly that essay and then the Law-Gospel debate. That's a 1969 work of his. He also cites from Fürthe Lex Semper Accusat. It's an article that he wrote, and that means the law always accuses ? Luther's ethics that the emailer mentions extensively, as far as I can tell, and then Gerhard Fürthe, Human Sexuality in the Romans, Chapter 1, that he wrote, as well as some other works. So as to the particular arguments here, I'm going to let Dr. Baker speak for himself on that. I mean, whenever we get a detailed rebuttal like this of any guest, we always just forward the email to the guest so they can respond if they'd like to. But from our perspective, we were not trying to mischaracterize in any way Dr. Fürthe. I have great admiration for the man's willingness to stand up against the powers that be in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And Dr. Baker was simply trying to say, with a less than fully developed Lutheran view of Scripture's authority, they may have lost the game before the coin toss. Now, here's some more feedback from the Issues Etc. comment line to our recent interview with Dr. Robert Baker on the ELCA, natural law, and homosexuality.
This is Herman calling February 14th, and I wish to comment on the presentation by Dr. Robert Baker of Concordia Publishing House on the topic of homosexuality, the ELCA, and natural law. Let me say, of all the programs you've had dealing with especially these topics, this one did the doctrinal archaeology spade work, going back to show where the situation in the ELCA has come from. This is a very important presentation that he made. He deals with the issues, where they've come from, their impact, and even if when the time you had him on it was in an outline, it is extremely significant. It shows that all of these concepts that intercepted Lutheranism and tried to derail orthodoxy have manifested themselves in the present time. They're still around because they're a foundation in which this stuff is going on. So keep up the work. That's excellent that his presentation was selected to go on and that he could address this subject. In terms of the situation of world Lutheranism today, it's an important, pivotal matter to bring up. Thank you very much.
And we need to keep that perspective that, as one of our guests, Craig Parton, is always quick to point out, when most people hear the word Lutheran, they don't hear confessional, sticking to the Reformation. They don't hear that. When most people, the average Joe on the street, hears Lutheran, they either think some sort of crazy branch of the Mennonites, or they think liberal. Because, let's just face it, the loudest voices in the Lutheran Church worldwide Lutheranism, the loudest voices up until lately have been largely liberal and radically liberal as well. And we try and do this. We try and bring, as the commenter says, theological, archaeological spade work, the basic work, to our listeners and make sure that our guests and everybody understands that This is the kind of stuff, this is way over my head. I'll be honest with you. All of this stuff that we talked with Dr. Robert Baker is way over my head in terms of its scholarship. But he's the scholar. I'm here to ask the questions so that all of us can understand what's going on, how they got where they are. By the way, our issues, et cetera, comment line for anybody who wants to use it. 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. You can leave a comment, question, show, suggestion, anything you want on the Issues Etc. comment line.
Here's a question from Rob in Michigan. Is it really true that all I have to do is listen to Deaconess Pam Nielsen each week and then I will be prepared to teach Sunday school? Doesn't your ad, your commercial, set the bar a little low? I'm not questioning Deaconess Nielsen's weekly teaching ministry on your program, just your little ad that says, if you listen to her, then I'll be prepared to teach Sunday school. Couldn't that be reworded a bit? Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening in Michigan, Rob.
I'll let you respond to that one, Jeff. I think what we're trying to do is provide people who are following Growing with Christ as a Sunday school curriculum with a way of beginning their study and looking at the lesson and walking through it with someone who had a hand in shaping a lot of that curriculum.
Yeah. Since I wrote the script, it's been running for ever since we've been back on the air. It is a little bit over the top. I mean, that's not all you need to do. But as a former Sunday school teacher, I wish I would have had a resource like that.
We've heard from Sunday school teachers. It is actually, we get feedback all the time from our listeners, but it's one of those features that we have here on Issues Etc. that probably gets as much feedback from the people we intend it to help, these Sunday school teachers who are getting ready to teach the little ones and the big ones on Sundays.
We'll change the spot.
All right. We'll be right back.
As easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the 2011 International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights in Strasbourg, France.
The listeners to Issues Etc. already have had contact through the program with lecturers who will be in Strasbourg this next summer. Craig Parton, myself, Dr. Minuge, Angus Minuge, Adam Francisco, and these lecturers are people who have defended the faith, who know how to defend the faith, and who are marvelous communicators. And so, if a listener to this program wants to learn how to present the case for Christianity in a secular situation, the 2 weeks in the French Rhineland with us would be an absolutely ideal way to achieve this.
You can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July 5th through the 16th in Strasbourg, France, at apologeticsacademy.eu.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
My pro-life colleagues in Holland do a great job of passing out beautiful plastic models of unborn babies at 12 weeks after conception. The Catholic bishop agrees and sent one to every member of the Dutch House of Representatives with a letter. One politician called it disgusting, so a Catholic journalist wrote an open letter to her, standing up for unborn babies. As a result, the journalist got hundreds of death threats and several threats of torture. I've been to Holland on many occasions and found the people very nice, but it seems lurking underneath the surface is a hatred for any point of view contrary to a liberal, politically correct opinion. They cry freedom of the press, but it doesn't seem to apply to faith-based journalists. Let's pray for Holland.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.